Welcome to Clearing the Static. News, analysis, and discussion of developments in radio and television in the United States and Canada. Your hosts are the Radio Kid and Jake Longwell. From Clearing the Static, this is Radio News Now with the Radio Kid.
Hello and welcome to Radio News Now, the radio newscast to go to when your radio station changes format for the week ending the 14th of October. I am the Radio Kid reporting. Well, we're starting this week with an on-the-block story, a big sale in Cleveland, Ohio. WNWV 107.3 FM has been sold from Elyria Lorraine Broadcasting, which also has a newspaper publishing division, to the Rubber City Radio Group. Now, Rubber City owns Akron, Radio Properties WAKR 1590, an oldies station, WQMX 94.9, which is a country station, and WONE 97.5, a rock station. The Elyria Lorraine Group keeps its 9:30 a.m. Serving the Cleveland metro area, and also keeps four stations, which are in the rural portions of the Cleveland metro and not targeting Cleveland itself. We will have more discussion on this in our program here on Clearing the Static. Well, some late format changes to tell you about. WMC in Memphis is going sports. The classic country radio station is being blown up as of Monday to become a flanker station to WMFS. The 790 frequency takes the Fox Sports affiliation away from 730 AM WTRQ. I'm looking at it here. WTRQ. So we don't know what 730 will do, and we're watching that. The main draw for 790 is Jim Rome, which will air from 11 to 2. This will free WMFS, which is on 690 and 92.9, to do other sports programming, mainly carrying ESPN product. And it looks like our talk of the Groove coming to Tucson, Arizona last week is confirmed, as RadioInsight.com discovered the Groove 106.3 domain. Journal Broadcasting confirmed they would be rebranding the station as The Groove on October 24th. And it looks like Sirius XM is starting to leak or unveil its new 2.0 lineup. While I don't have the lineup in front of me, and I will when we go to discuss this on the program, the offerings include party songs, jukebox rock, a suite of channels targeted to the Hispanic community, a station for yoga and spiritual chanting, and a radio station playing live classic rock. And those are the top stories making headlines for this week, ending October 14th, with your Radio News Now. I am the Radio Kid reporting.
Clearing the Static. ClearingTheStatic.tripod.com.
Got something to say? Email ClearingTheStatic at RadioNewsNow@ymail.com. Or contact us via Jaikoon on RadioJocks.com/profile/ClearingTheStatic. This is Clearing the Static. ClearingTheStatic.tripod.com.
And that is what you are listening to, folks. Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's midnight, universal time, for those of you keeping track. Jake Longwell with the Radio Kid for another discussion of radio here in North America.
Yes, and hello to everyone listening. I hope you're all having a good weekend, and a pleasant one at that.
Yes, and those of you listening are probably noticing something radically different about this program.
Yes, our sound quality. We are recording. We are now recording via Skype.
Yes, that is correct. We'd hinted at wanting to do this.
Yes.
And now we finally got all the bugs worked out. And
yes, actually, is the show that we did as a test? Will that be up on the archive? So
yes, it will be.
Yes, if you wish to hear that.
Yes, some rough spots in there, but we got through it, and we found out exactly what we needed to fix, and we've done that.
Oh yes.
And so now, this is good. This is great, much improved sound quality, and we'd like to know what you think.
Definitely.
We hope that you will like the improved audio of this program.
We hope so too, and you can let us know via email, because hooray, our email account has been saved.
For now.
For now.
Yes, for those not knowing what we were talking about, Yahoo was threatening to totally discontinue or cut off anyone using older versions of Yahoo Mail other than the newest version, and so the Radio Kid was concerned about that, as I was too, but we are still able to access that account.
Yes.
Radio News Now at YMail.com.
Yes. Radio News Now at YMail.com is the account, is the way you can get in touch with us. And, it's all good. Moving, I guess, to the topics at hand in radio and television.
Absolutely.
I guess the big thing to talk about is the sale of WNWV 107.3 in Cleveland. This actually came as a big surprise to me when I read it.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, when you broke the news to me, I was somewhat shocked, too. I didn't think that they would consider selling that.
I didn't think they would. I mean, especially after, you know, changing formats, you know, so recently, like they did.
Yeah, but it seems apparently the boom went bust.
Yeah, well, actually, it hasn't been the boom in a while. I guess there were some CBS radio copyright issues, so now it's V107.3.
Okay, well, that shows how much I listened to that station.
Right.
In the post-smooth jazz era.
Yeah, and I think we should talk about that, because the station for many years
over 20 years, in fact.
Yes, was a smooth jazz radio station. And I guess you said one of the, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the pioneers?
Not necessarily, because they weren't the first or one of the first, but they adopted the format back in the late 80s during one of its comebacks, when it was a fad format. And, you know, by the early 90s, several of the stations that had picked it up had dropped it, but not WNWV. They remained with it.
Mm-hmm. And they had been up until 2009, when the decision was made to change the format to AAA, which is, I get a lot of radio industry observers saw that as ironic, because the AAA format, Cleveland had begun to be measured in PPM, and neither smooth jazz nor AAA really are PPM friendly formats.
No, they're not. And so one would think that a company wishing to change format would want to change to something a bit more friendly to the PPM, but maybe they wanted to try to remain somewhat unique and see if maybe this format would attract slightly higher or slightly better ratings.
I think that was their goal, yes, yes. Now the question is, you know, Illyria Lorraine, you know, apparently they really needed some cash because, and we don't know what the price is. At least I haven't gotten any figures yet in my inbox about it. If you know, please do email the program. But I guess Illyria Lorraine, who really needed that fast cash, chose to sell this radio station to Rubber City Radio. And what they will do with it now, we don't know, because Rubber City Radio owns all of their stations are Akron-owned and Akron-based. Meaning
correct.
They all target Akron, Ohio.
Correct. Which is a separate radio market.
Yes, it is.
From Cleveland.
I'm sure you can hear 107.3 in Akron.
I would guess so. I mean, we're talking about a 50,000 watt Class B station
here.
Yeah. But the question remains, will they use that station to target Akron, or will they try to branch out? And, you know, as you say, what will they do with it? Could they possibly put one of their existing formats on a bigger signal? For instance, this would be an opportunity for the country station to move to a big signal, or the rock station.
Well, and that's what I think, is that now, you know, Cleveland, I don't know too much about Cleveland radio. Admittedly, it's not one of the markets that I pay attention to every market, but I don't pay a huge bit of huge attention to Cleveland, mainly because I really feel as an observer that Cleveland is one of the more mundane radio markets. There really isn't a lot of unique or interesting activity going on in Cleveland to speak of. Now, there is WGAR, which is the big country station.
Oh, absolutely. 99.5, yes.
In Cleveland. They are the big ones. So whether or not Rubber City, they might want to take a whack at that.
Yes, or they may choose to do something completely different with 107.3. What is interesting here also is that Illyria Lorraine is keeping the rest of its radio properties.
Including the AM station, Talk 930, that serves Cleveland.
Right. So, I mean, one would think that if they wanted to sell the FM, they would sell the AM station with it.
Maybe they didn't want to completely cash out of Cleveland.
Could be. Although, I don't know, a standalone AM station in a major market like that is very iffy.
That's bound to go soon.
Yes. Although, I mean, for all we know, this is just speculation on my part, but maybe they have other plans for that station as far as a sale is concerned.
Maybe. I mean, anything is possible, really, at this point with them. I don't think they will cash out concerning their rural stations.
No. No, and I think that's good. It's great when a small company continues to exist and program small-town radio. That's something you're seeing less and less of these days. So it's always good. If some of this money can be put back into that effort, then I would be all for it.
Yes, I completely agree. So that is the big question, or that is the big story, I think. You know, as a programmer, that's the next big one to watch.
Yes, absolutely. What will become of 107.3 in the Cleveland market? Your thoughts and your predictions.
They're always welcome via email at radionewsnow@ymail.com, radionewsnow@ymail.com. You can find us on Jaiku. We're at clearingthestatic.jaiku.com, clearingthestatic.jaiku.com, or weigh in on our Radio Jocks social networking page. We're at radiojocks.com/profile/clearingthestatic. That's radiojocks.com/profile/clearingthestatic.
Yes, onward now to our next topic of discussion. Something that we had wanted to talk about, or at least I know the Radio Kid had wanted to talk about, so I figure might as well give him the platform to talk about this now. Radio's new cell phone.
Good God. Yes. The radio industry has invented a new cell phone. God help us. Okay, here's the backstory here. All right, the radio industry, especially one Mr. Jeff Smillion, has been lobbying the radio industry and halfway into talking about this and I'm already riled up. Has been lobbying the cell phone and electronics industry to put in FM radio chips into cell phones. Yes, folks, FM radio chips into cell phones. Well, the cell phone industry has said, hey, radio industry, stop mandating that we help you with your old, outdated technology. The cell phone industry and the digital industry have always seen radio as a threat and have always seen radio as the enemy. And I will get back to that in a minute because that holds some water for me. And I will expand on that in a minute. But in their frustration, the radio industry has decided, or some of the bigwigs in the radio industry have decided, hey, we're going to make our own cell phone. And I guess the plans for this were talked about at the most recent NAB-RAB radio show, and it passed. So now they are working on developing a cell phone. It's a custom-made cell phone. You know, it looks just like any other standard cell phone, but the main thing that you get with the cell phone is an FM radio chip. So here are my thoughts on this. The radio industry is crazy. I don't know what they're thinking. Now look, let's go back to this whole idea that the cell phone industry feels that radio is the enemy. To them, the radio industry is the enemy. And they have always felt that way. They have always felt that the radio industry is taking away their listeners, their clients, their paying customers. And of course, radio, you get radio for free. Well, let me tell the radio industry something. iPods, Apple, to some extent the internet, and definitely these cell phones. Radio, wake up, because this stuff is your enemy. And the radio industry has taken forever to actually wake up, because the radio industry has been extremely complacent and la-di-da about this. And now I kind of feel like the radio industry is trying to get in bed, so to speak, with the enemy. And I do not support this whole plan of putting FM chips into cell phones or iPods or other technology, because radio is supposed to sell itself on its own merits. And if you don't have the merits being compelling content to keep listeners away from that other technology, then that's your own fault. And this whole beat them, if you can't beat them, then join them mentality, I think it's because the radio industry has basically surrendered. Okay, well, we're an iPod on a jukebox, So let's just put ourselves into cell phones and iPods and make ourselves accessible, because we really have nothing worth of value. And it's a shame. It's a shame that the radio industry has to stoop to this level, because it can't get listeners on its own merits. I do not support the cell phone. I will not be buying a radio cell phone if it is offered to me. I don't think the radio industry should get behind this. If you are an employee at a radio station, I would be very fearful, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Yes, you can put that chip into the cell phone. Go ahead, put it in. But let me tell you what's going to happen. While people are listening to the radio, they're going to start texting. And when they start texting, they're not paying attention to you anymore. They're not paying attention to your content anymore. The other issue is, what kind of synergies is the radio industry going to want? For example, is Clear Channel now going to want a synergy for their apps for iHeartRadio? If so, because iHeartRadio now has this customizable feature where you can customize your own programmable radio station, the younger generation will probably try to do that instead of listening to an actual over-the-air stream through their cell phone. This is a bad idea. This is a very bad idea. Radio industry, shame, shame, shame. Wake up. Realize cell phones, iPods, this kind of thing, this is leading to your doom. And joining them, trying to make a cell phone for yourself, isn't the answer. It's not going to help you. All it's going to do is quickly lead to radio's demise more quickly. And the day that happens, basically everyone loses.
I completely agree. And you brought up a very valid point. Just because the FM chip is offered doesn't mean people are going to use it.
Exactly. You know, it depends. Now, I mean, I'll grant you this. If you had a cell phone, okay, a simple little cell phone, and all it had was the ability to call and the ability to listen to the radio, that might hold some merit. But something tells me that they're not going to make a cell phone like that.
Oh, no, no. Because no. My one of my friends at a local radio station was showing me his phone recently, and he can now listen to internet radio on his phone.
Oh, God.
Absolutely. So you're right. The enemy has gotten one up on the radio industry, because you can listen to web radio.
Yes, you can listen to web radio. So now it's kind of like the radio industry is kind of like, well, we're with the enemy, but we're not with the, we're frenemies.
Right.
That's what this is. You know, it's beyond my belief, but I think it's because, again, the radio industry doesn't have compelling content to offer.
No. And even the web radio, I mean, yes, you could listen to internet stations.
God, you could even listen to us. Oh, this is scary. This is scary. I don't want to be on somebody's cell phone.
You may not have much of a choice.
Oh, God, no. No.
But at the same time, you know, people can get these sources of programming. Yeah, so they have an additional option, but they left in most cases, those consumers left that option, the FM radio, years ago.
Right. And that's what the cell phone industry had been saying. Radio, you know, people don't want your old outdated technology. And, you know, it's that's not even to mention, let me bring up this point.
Sure.
FM radio chips. Can I say that again? AM radio chips. What does this mean? AM stations, screw you.
Exactly. And that was one of the first things that I picked up on when we were discussing this earlier off air. Yeah, there are no AM tuners in these phones.
No. So if you are an AM radio, if you are the owner of an AM radio station, tough luck for you. You still have to sell your station on its own merits, which isn't a bad thing. But still, is it fair to say, okay, FM radio, you get to join the enemy. AM radio, oh, just go fend for your damn self.
Well, and I know why. It's because technologically it's much more difficult to put in an AM tuner because the reception
would be horrible.
Would be horrible, but it would also require, for instance, it would also require a bigger antenna, an internal antenna.
Yes.
Which most, no cell phone manufacturer is going to want to touch that.
Right.
But no, I agree with you that that is unfortunate. But do you see now why people, do you see now why a lot of heritage AM stations are moving to FM?
Yeah. And you know what? It with this transition, to, if they make this cell phone, you're going to see more stations make that transition.
I was thinking that. I was.
That's what you're going to see. And so the little guy who can't afford this, you know, or the little guy, maybe there's somebody who doesn't have an FM station in their cluster to put the AM format on. They're out of luck.
Pretty much. Unless you want to blow up a format on one of your stations, but if it's doing well, you don't want to do that, of course.
Well, what if you have only one AM station and it serves the community? It is the local station for that little suburban hamlet. It's not on FM. They, you know, it's a single owner or a small company. They don't own an FM. They just own that one little local AM station.
Yes, and there are still several owners out there that are in that situation.
Yeah.
Not as many as there used to be, but they still exist.
Well, hello, WBTA.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they had, for what it's worth, they had an FM station at one point.
Yes.
But that was sold off and moved to the Buffalo market.
Yes, it was.
Years ago, so. 6, 1, 8, 7, no, yes. this definitely is a very disturbing trend and a very sad day for the radio industry. So what will become of the radio cell phone, the cell phones with the FM radio chip in them? Your thoughts, your feedback. We'd love to know what you think. Will you be buying any of these? Will you be buying this phone? We'd like to hear what you have to say on
yes,
this discussion.
Yes, and there are several ways to get in contact with the program, and we would definitely be interested in your opinion. Something else, another point I want to make here is that I want to talk about that. Now, all of the radio industry observers, you know, or observers, bigger companies, you know, are on board with this. You know, they're talking about this. You know who else I'm afraid might be included in these discussions? Ubiquiti.
Oh, boy.
You know, what if now we have, you know, now we have a nightmare scenario, HD radio in cell phones. And you know that's what they're going to want.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe these chips will be HD automatically.
Yeah, and that's what I wonder is, okay, now that you've got the HD, okay, HD 1, 2, 3, and 4, okay, you've got multiple options, okay? Since AM radio is so quote-unquote obsolete, and there's no AM radio in these cell phones, and that's where they want to move the consumer, hey, how about a sunset date for AM radio?
It'll happen. It's already happening in the rest of the rest of the Western world.
You know, and this is why I say, look, this is going to hurt the radio industry more than it's going to help it.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, the critics out there, well, you know, this is just the radio kid complaining and griping and whining, you know. No, you'll see.
Yeah, but no, a sunset date for AM broadcasting is not out of the question.
No.
Scott Feibusch in his Northeast Radio Watch had remarked recently when KDKA was going to be celebrating its 90th anniversary last year. It celebrated its 90th anniversary. And he posed the question in one of his Northeast Radio Watch columns, you know, will they be around on AM 1020 to celebrate their 100th anniversary?
That's a very good question.
My prediction, and again, this is just a prediction. I don't have any inside info of any kind, is no.
Probably not. I mean, because it's moving so fast. It's moving too fast.
It is.
You know, this industry is going to hell in a handbasket. And those of us who really care about this industry, you know, I mean, look, I say these things not to be a thorn in anyone's side, but I say these things because I love this industry. I always have. And I don't want to see it go this way, because I know what's going to happen. Eventually, you start putting these radios into these iPods and these cell phones, and you start to say, okay, enemy, we're going to give you what you want. We're going to adopt some of your ideas, and now they're going to be acceptable. Eventually, what's going to happen is you're going to see the death of radio, because you're validating, in a way, although it might not seem like it, you are validating the idea to the average young person, hey, I'm radio, and even though I'm here in this device for you, go ahead, use your iPod to get your own music, or use your cell phone to text. I'll just sit here and be irrelevant for you.
Right. And hopefully you'll use me.
Right.
But
If you don't, you know, and it doesn't matter that I don't really have any good content to offer you.
Exactly.
Maybe just think about using. Oh, you don't want to use me. Oh, okay. I'll just, yeah, never mind. You know?
Yeah. And that's what it all boils down to. It's all about content.
Right. And the radio, they just don't seem to get it.
No, and I honestly have to wonder if they ever will.
I don't know. You're listening to Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio and archived online at clearingthestatic.tripod.com.
That's right. And something, it is kind of relevant, because we're talking just now about radio and young people. There was a rather significant day celebrated last week, College Radio Day.
Yes, College Radio Day, where all the quirky college radio stations got to, in a way, validate their existence.
Yes, that's true. And that happened on Tuesday, October 11th. And I was part of that.
Yes, you were part of that. Why don't you tell our listening audience your experiences?
Well, it was actually quite fun. I, of course, am involved with the local college radio station here in Geneva, WHWS. And the general manager, Greg Cotterill, had asked me if I would be interested in doing a live program to celebrate College Radio Day. And he actually asked all of the community members, there are a handful of us non-students that do programs on the station, and he had asked us if we would like to do live shows, and we all jumped on board the opportunity to do this. It was fun. I had a chance to play some avant-garde and experimental music on my Classics and Beyond show, which normally runs on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. as a pre-recorded show. It was the first time, actually.
That you had done it live.
That I had done it live, yes. And that was followed by Bill and his Southern Roots show, and then we had Stephen Hamm, who does a classic rock show normally on Thursdays. He came in, did a special show. The sad part is this was not very well timed for Hobart and William Smith because most of the students were still on their fall break. We did have a couple of students participate, a couple of young ladies from the college later on in the afternoon. But for the most part, there weren't any student DJs around to take part in the festivities. So
now, wait a minute. Hobart and William Smith gets a fall break?
A very short one. It's around Columbus Day, yes.
Oh, goodness. Okay. All right.
So, unfortunately, timing was not on our side, but a lot of other schools did participate, and this was a day to celebrate the, as they put it, one of the last bastions of creative independent media.
You know, here's the problem with college radio, and I'm not generalizing all college stations because there are some that are actually run really well, but I think it's kind of foolish for college radio to try and validate its existence when, for the most part, all college radio is, hey, I'm going to play music and I want everyone in my dorm to listen because nobody else is really listening. I mean, that's generally what college radio is, or at least that's generally what a lot of freeform college radio is I'm going to play music my friends want to hear. And it's basically, I'm a college student and I'm doing a show for me and my friends. And it's not for the public in general. Now, there are exceptions to that. And there are stations, there are college stations that have community DJs and other programming. But for the most part, I think the average John, Jill, or Joe kind of sees college radio as, oh, that's the radio for the college kids. You know, that it's not marketed very well. Now, if this college radio day, if this can become a tradition, and if they can start marketing it right, then I don't think we'll have that much to worry about. I think maybe then you'll see college radio start to creep on the right path, as it were.
Well, I can see where you're coming from, but I do have to say, I agree, though, that it is one of the last outlets for independent media. You know, I like the fact that very often they play, even though I'm not really a fan of most modern rock, a lot of what they're playing now is indie rock.
Yes.
They're playing indie and unsigned bands. Many colleges do have a local music show to give local artists a chance to shine and be heard. And you mentioned the community members. Now, some schools will allow community volunteers, some will not. And those that do also give a voice to those that don't have specific members of the community, specific groups in the community that don't have voices. So I think it's still very relevant, and I think it's great that they chose to try to make more people aware of their existence, because really these stations are threatened, folks. Many schools in this time of economic turmoil are deciding what they need to get rid of or what they can dispense with to save money.
And the first thing and the most expensive thing that they have in their activity fund is the radio station.
Yes. So it gets sold. Sometimes we're lucky and it's sold to a public radio station and they do something useful with it, such as what happened in Nashville. That was unfortunate that an independent voice was lost, WRVU, but The public broadcaster in town, WPLN, is doing a great job programming it as a classical station. And in other cases, the administration doesn't care. They will sell to the highest bidder. So EMF and its ilk can get a hold of some of these stations and have gotten hold of some of these stations and turn them into satellite-fed religious broadcasters.
Yes, and that, you know, I mean, I can see where the colleges are coming from, especially if there are... Now, I mean, I think the WRVU case and the case of the, I forget the calls now, but the one in San Francisco,
KUSF.
Yes, KUSF.
I think.
Yes, you know, those were stations that had, you know, a big following, but I can see where maybe a station like the one at the College of the Nazarene in Tennessee a while back was sold because there was little interest.
Yep.
And it was a drain.
Yeah, and that in itself all goes back to young people's lack of interest in radio.
Yes, it does.
When you consider that a decade ago or two decades ago, certainly three decades ago, there was probably a lot of interest in that station.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least enough to sustain it.
Enough to justify keeping it, yes. And I kind of have to wonder if our own, the station at our alma mater will eventually be sold. Because every time you turn it on, it seems like, oh my God, there's no one on the air. Unless they have to be.
Right. Well, I don't know. We're referring to WDWN in Auburn. And I don't know, their Facebook page is very active, with including from some of the current students that have shows on the station. It's funny that we mention that, because actually I was just listening to that station recently, and I totally forgot about this. But yes, they have reason to celebrate this month, because they're celebrating their 40th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And when I heard the promo, they are running a very, very interesting promo. Happy birthday, Win89. And that reminded me that, yes, I was told when I was a student there that they signed on 88.9 FM with 10 watts on Halloween night, 1971.
Oh, wow. They have been around for a while.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's interesting to see how they've, you know, how far they've come technically, because they evolved from 10 watts on 88.9 through to having 3,000 watts and serving
on 89.1.
On 89.1. And, of course, web streaming. And, you know, bringing up the whole... mentioning 10 watts, I think some of the stations that are especially threatened these days are the handful, maybe more than a handful, maybe a couple of handfuls worth of Class D educational FM stations that are still around.
Yeah, there definitely aren't very many of them.
No, no, not as many as there used to be. And I'm concerned, because I have to wonder how viable those stations are.
Yeah, and if those are sold, you can bet the people who buy them will want to buy them to take them dark.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, the thing is, it wouldn't even be a question of being sold. You could just surrender the license, or if a larger broadcaster were to offer you the chance to surrender the license so that they could expand. Because actually, the Class D stations, they're not protected. So if a larger broadcaster, that is Class A, B, C, wishes to encroach on that frequency, then you have to go dark. Because Class Ds are like LPFMs and translators. They are second class, citizens on the radio dial, as it were, and they have no protection. And that's actually why you see several Class Ds in the commercial band. Most of those that are in the commercial band today are there because they were moved. They had started out in the educational band, but they were moved when public radio began expanding in the 70s and 80s. And many of them went dark completely, but many more were displaced.
I think a lot of, from what I've been reading, though, there are some colleges that have Class D, but don't most of those, I think most of those belong to high schools, actually.
Yes, actually. And the thing is, high school stations also participated in this college radio day. So this was kind of a day to celebrate educational radio as a whole.
Mm.
But yes, many high schools do still have Class D stations as well.
Mm.
Personally, I'm for resurrecting the Class D license. As a form of LPFM, but and that class does exist. But whether the next filing window will include that is still anybody's guess.
Yeah, the last one I think did not. And that was because of pressure from the silly NAB.
Yes.
Good God. Every time I think of them, they make my blood boil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They've made so many bad decisions. Oh, God.
Ridiculous. But no, that was College Radio Day, and it was a lot of fun. I'm just sorry that none of the other student DJs at WHWS were able to participate. But we did have fun, and I got some free pizza and pop out of it.
So, oh, all right.
But no, a fun time had by all, and I hope that they'll consider doing it again next year.
Yes.
So, definitely. It is Clearing the Static, and we've got about 10 minutes left here on this week's program.
Anything you wish to discuss this week, Jake?
No. I think I've come up with a couple of topics here. So
yes, you have. All right. So, well, the other thing, I don't think we mentioned this on last week's program, but there is a new CEO at Clear Channel, Bob Pittman, whom you have heard about, who has developed many strategies, digital strategies for Clear Channel, including the expansion of iHeartRadio, has been named CEO of CC Media Holdings and the CC Outdoor Division as well. And he has promised to expand Clear Channel's digital footprint. What does this mean? Well, again, radio is joining the enemy, in my opinion. If you've seen this iHeartRadio, then you'll know why. The customizable Pandora-esque feature. I mean, again, this is berserk. And then Clear Channel is rewarding him with the people at Clear Channel don't have their brains intact inside their heads. But it's not a mystery to me that they are rewarding him with the CEO position for this.
Well, yes. I mean, because essentially you're offering this platform for people to pick and choose music, which I... As much as I love radio still believe in radio, I like the idea of being able to listen to some of my favorite songs the way I want to hear them. I like that idea, but I don't think a radio company should necessarily be touting that.
No, I don't either. They should be touting listening to the radio. And yes, you can listen to all of Clear Channel's stations, or most of them, on iHeartRadio. But, I mean, everybody was wowed by Mr. Pittman's speech at the NABRAB radio show Otherwise, no. I'll hereforth label this as the Society of Fools. Everybody was wowed and awed about the. Well, you know, we need to strategize now because you know the younger generation is. Sorry about that. The younger generation is, you know, moving away. We need to get them to embrace, you know, radio and you know, we need to reach out and expand into these digital platforms. And everybody just went, ooh, ah, Mr. Pittman, you're so wonderful. Goo goo gaga. You know, and I'm reading these reviews, these very passionate reviews, even by small market radio operators. Oh, Mr. Pittman is on the right track. Yeah, the right track, my foot. You know, this whole idea that, oh my goodness, we need to expand it. All you need is a good website and a radio station online stream. That's honestly, in my opinion, that's all you really need. None of this, you know, oh, let's put the radio station on, you know, Facebook and let's get a Facebook stream up and we'll get Twitter and texting and SMS and VHS and blogs and googly odds and whatever else we can come up with. And oh, let's add a radio app so that people can listen on their BlackBerry and their iPod and this and that. And oh, this is so great. We're expanding and everyone loves this stuff. Gary Burns, who is actually fighting Clear Channel on a couple of station owner things in Chattanooga, he writes into Tom Taylor, I thought Bob Pittman was on the right track. Ooh. You know, it's small market operators, you know, too, are just wowed by this. And I'm going, what the hell are you people thinking? Do you really want to kill yourselves now? Jeez. And then they're rewarding him with this CEO position over at Clear Channel Corporate. It's ludicrous. The death of radio is coming, folks. The death of radio is coming.
Yeah, I mean, with attitudes like that and people just embracing this new technology that's not giving people an incentive to listen to traditional radio, you know, unless maybe... And yes, this thought has crossed my mind too. Maybe they're starting to accept the fact that radio is dying and they're trying to embrace this new technology. I mean, has that thought ever occurred to you?
Yes. And maybe maybe what they're trying to do is just slow down their death a little bit.
Well, I have to think though, whatever the new platform is, I mean, if radio ultimately goes away, and I hope it does not, but if it does, whatever platform will replace it, which will most likely be some kind of digital platform.
Yes.
Internet, cell phone, computer based. I'm sure that many of these companies, if they still exist by then, and some will and some won't, I'm sure, they will be embracing this technology and they will be the main ones launching the new platform, the new technology.
I'm sure of it. But Jake, that really, if that's the case, if the radio execs really have accepted the fact that radio is dying, I mean, if that's true, then it's a shame that they've given up on their destiny and the greatness that radio is. And I mean that for everyone who loves this industry and who wants to see it saved, alarm bell should be going off in your head. If that's really the case.
Yes, I agree. And I'm certainly well aware of this. And I think anybody listening to this program should be well aware of it too.
Yeah.
But there are people like us, people like, and organizations like Geneva Community Radio that will still strive to give people compelling content on the radio. Yes, we exist as an internet station. We know this. But if you look at our homepage, you'll see that our ultimate goal, one that I truly believe will be realized next year, I'm going to go out on a limb here and make a prediction.
Go ahead.
I predict by this time next year, we will have a CP for an LPFM station. And that is our ultimate goal. Yes, we will continue to webcast, but we still believe in the power of grassroots community radio.
Radio.
And yes, so, and so that's what we're ultimately aiming for. And I think we can do it.
I do too. I do too. Hopefully, you know, the listeners of GCR and of this program will stick with us. If you want to check out the rest of the station, we have made a couple of programming changes. I encourage you, I'm their programming consultant. Of course, I'm going to encourage you to listen to Geneva Community Radio and check out the radio station. And
yes, we're back. They could knock us down, but they couldn't keep us out.
That's right.
We survived the open cloud virus.
Yes.
And let us hope that never happens again. But I do want to say yes, indeed, we are back with our schedule, and more exciting programming to come. So
yes,
and that's all because we believe in this. We believe in this. We believe in our mission and in making that mission a reality. And part of that mission includes radio.
That's right.
So, well, we're about out of time for we've got another minute or two here, but we're about out of time for this edition of Clearing the Static, the new and improved
version of Clearing the Static. Yes.
Yes.
Jake, how have things sounded on your end?
They've sounded great.
Okay, good. Good.
I've not had any complaints.
Good, good. You know, this is so handy because when I cough or something, I can just flip a switch and.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is great. This is great. This whole Skype thing is great.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we're not the only radio station to use this. A lot of broadcasters actually use this, especially to do live remotes.
Wait a minute. Is this the same as ISDN?
Essentially, yes.
Whoa, dude!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, I didn't realize that. I thought ISDN was this big honking whatever. But, wow. Well,
it's the same principle, anyway.
Same principle. Okay. I like this, then.
Yeah, I'm guessing you did not know that.
No, no. I mean, I'm sitting here in my little apartment here on West First, and I'm not tied to a phone. I can get up and walk and to see I'm moving, and this is great. I can walk around a little bit while I'm talking, and it's great.
So,
all right. So we should probably end the program.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to end it by saying thank you for listening to Clearing the Static. And remember, all you radio geeks and geekazoids, video didn't kill the radio star. He's not here right now. He's at an exclusive cell phone smashing convention.
We'll be back next week, folks. Bye-bye.
You can write to Clearing the Static. You can send email to radionewsnow@ymail.com. For more information about our program, including when and where to hear the show, plus our program archive, please visit our website at clearingthestatic.tripod.com. Get breaking news, program updates, and so much more on our JAIKU page at clearingthestatic.jaiku.com. You can find our blog, polls, and fun things to do on our social network page on radiojocks.com/profile/clearingthestatic. Clearing the Static is a presentation of Geneva Community Radio, which is solely responsible for its content.